see politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Hello, my darlings. It's been a little while, but I'm so happy to see you again. I have been out in the universe gathering forces and working on a little self-care, all while trying not to let the never-ending enclosure of doom and depression take hold. But with the rotten comes the rewards, and I can happily say I am finding my drive again, just in the nick of time. The perfectionist in me just won't let me do something when I can't give it 110%. So Mama needed a little break from all this dark history. But the witch is back, and there's hell to pay. Magic mirror on the wall. Who is the most rotten one of all? Hi, hello, and howdy, my darlings, and welcome to Rotten to the Core. I am the not-so-evil queen, Joshua Waters. On this podcast, we delve into the lives of some infamous figures from history, using a magical mirror and a touch of humor to bring life to their stories, all to gain valuable lessons from the mistakes of these people that we can use in our lives today. Queen Renivalona I ruled Madagascar from 1828 until 1861. She has gone down in history as a cruel and murderous queen who enacted bizarre and cruel policies. As we know, women in history are rarely portrayed in a good light, and some historians today are starting to carve out the rotten from her story. Was she an unhinged and bloodthirsty monarch? Or was her heated conflict with Britain, France, and all Christians what caused her rotten deeds? Let's find out. Princess Romova, later Queen Renivalona, was born into the royal family of Madagascar in 1778. Even though she was royalty, she wasn't in line for the throne by a mile. It was actually a twist of fate that made her queen. Her dad had overheard talks about a coup to usurp the king. He then told the king and was rewarded for it by having his daughter get to marry the king's son, Prince Radama. I do find it fascinating when people are made into rulers just by a few random acts, like Queen Elizabeth II. She would never have been queen for all of those years if her uncle hadn't given up the throne for love. There wasn't a lot of love between Renivalona and Radama when they were married. However, the king declared that any children from their union would have dibs on the throne, which was a good thing because she was only one of 12 wives. And it all worked out, though, because the queen grew to hate her husband. I'm sure part of that had something to do with the fact that he had her entire family killed when his dad died. He didn't want her side of the family to come around trying to claim the throne or nothing. My family does the same thing over the last piece of pie. King Radama wasn't fulfilled just by his 12 wives at home. So he spent many a night out drinking away and spilling that royal seed. I'm not actually sure if they even had a sexual relationship, because in the 2 decades that they were married, they had no children. King Radama reigned from 1810 until 1828, when he took his own life in a fever-fueled delirium after weeks of an agonizing sickness. Some say it was malaria. Some say it could have been cirrhosis of the liver. I think it was the syphilis. Sidebar, I read an article about the history of sex work and, my God. So we know that much of history was nasty and smelly. But we didn't know. Let's use, for example, a medieval brothel, a time when people thought bathing would actually make you sick. I won't go into all the gory details, but I stopped reading about the time I read that the woman's downstairs would often be green from one or more STIs that were rampant. I'm so happy to exist in a time when there are hot showers, penicillin prep, and condoms. Now, some historians claim that Reina Vellona displayed her dead husband's body for months, as it quickly decayed in the Madagascan heat. She also made the entire country shave their heads and had a mourning period for the king that lasted for several months, during which no one was allowed to do anything cheerful or happy, and everyone had to cry and act solemn, all in mourning. Even some tea was going around that the queen poisoned her husband to gain power. She was one of 12 wives, after all. And although technically she was the primary wife and queen, she was more considered as the number one spouse in the country. And because of that, when her husband died, the crown went to his nephew, Rakotobe, who immediately saw Reina Vellona as a threat. For good reason, especially because of that pesky law about her children being the heir to the throne. Yeah, even though her husband, the king's son, was dead, it was still the law that all of her children, no matter the father, would be in line to be ruler. It didn't take long until Rakotobe was plotting to kill his aunt, but she found out. She then gathered support and, with the help of the army, declared that she was the rightful ruler. And it worked, too. In August of 1828, she officially became head queen in charge. One of the first things she did was kill Rakotobe and his entire family, and anyone who had any connections to him, and his supporters. Talk about pulling something out by the root. She erased not only him, but any chance of his line existing further. Her coronation was a good mix of modern life and showing a lot of respect for her people's ancient traditions. She wore a gown made in France, but there were also animal blood sacrifices. One of her main goals was to keep her island nation within her power and away from the increasing presence of the British and French missionaries trying to spread Christianity. She had been trapped in a marriage for 20 years and finally had a chance to get a little trade. And by September of 1829, she had given birth to her one and only child and heir, Prince Ricardo. His daddy isn't very important. He was just some general who was either murdered by another one of the queen's lovers or by the queen herself. During her reign, Madagascar lost up to 70% of its entire population. Some were foreigners who left back to their own countries or Christians who moved away to keep a hold of their new religion. And the rest died from the queen's cruelty. She made it very clear that she despised European influence and Christians with a white devil hatred. She cut all ties with Britain and France and was now looking for help in making Madagascar into a self-sufficient kingdom. Help was found, but it was in the blood and sweat and tears of her own people. She introduced a tax payment system where citizens could pay by doing manual labor until their debt was cleared. So, slavery. especially since she basically forced people into it by ensuring taxes were numerous and money was low. She would also work them to death, making them do anything and everything she could think of. And if some of these rumors are true, she could think of some pretty odd requests. The queen would have them carry her whenever she traveled instead of using a horse. They were also forced to fight for her during the many uprisings and conflicts that happened during her brutality. In 1835, she officially banned Christianity from her country, and she went after Christians with a renewed hunger. Chicken. One of the ways she would force suspected Christians into admitting that they were, she would have them eat raw chicken skin and a toxic nut grown on the island. Then, based on the amount of chicken skin that they threw up, that would determine if they were telling the truth or lying. Salmonella and a toxic nut. Ooh, my guts could never. Another story about her is when she decided to go on a buffalo hunt. She had the entire court go with her and forced thousands of slaves to build a road only a day ahead of them. And not only did they have to build the road, they had to create entire small towns along the way for when the queen decided to rest for the night. She also didn't give them any provisions, and at least 10,000 are believed to have died during that trip. That also included all the villagers along the way who were murdered or enslaved by the people building the roads for any food or supplies they had. And it was all for nothing, because they had never, not once, hunted or killed a buffalo. While at the palace, the queen was known to throw elaborate and expensive parties one night and then plan a bizarre execution the next. If she couldn't think of anything clever, her favorite go-to executions were crushing people beneath metal and having them thrown off a cliff. Which, honestly, who hasn't wanted to throw somebody off a cliff a time or two? They can have a parachute. There is another story about a group of slaves she was about to burn and one pregnant woman who gave birth. But the queen had the child thrown into the fire along with its mother. But I don't really believe in that one fully. I think it's a go-to rumor of the British at that time that it is the same story about Queen Mary I of England. I remember that one from our Bloody Mary episode. In 1845, Britain and France had enough of dealing with her attitude towards them and their religion. I'm sure they didn't enjoy having a female leader causing them to lose all of that holy ground, too. Both countries attacked Madagascar, but the queen wiped the floor with them. Little did they know, she had utterly revolutionized her country. Aside from England, it had the second largest industrialization anywhere. England and France retreated so quickly that they left 20 men behind. The queen took it as an opportunity to not only show strength further, but she also used it as a way to separate her country from European beliefs. She went back to the island's ancestral practices and had all the prisoners beheaded and their heads put on spikes around the beach. She later defended her decision by stating that this is what her people had been doing to enemies for centuries. As she put it, she had as much right to nail her enemies' heads at the end of a pole as Queen Victoria to send her prisoners to exile. As cruel as the queen was, her one and only son, Rokoto, was much more sympathetic. He was known to let prisoners go, save people from ordeals, and give food to the starving. Eventually, he sought to overpower his mother and take her throne. And from this family's history, I think this was just the common practice. He plotted with several Europeans against his mother, and, of course, she found out. She then killed all the Europeans. Yes, she did let them go home to their country, but they were forced to walk through miles and miles of wild jungle to get to their ships. Out of all the men, there were only a few survivors, and the journey took over 50 days. All the rest died of disease, infection, starvation, or injury. You have to remember, too, these were aristocratic Europeans. Their only survival knowledge was when the servants would be bringing the tea next. Queen Ravanilova reigned until she was 83 and died in her sleep on August 16, 1861. That wasn't the end of her torment, though. During her funeral, a large amount of gunpowder caught on fire and exploded. Several people were killed and multiple buildings were destroyed. It's also believed that she returned from the grave and began to haunt her people after her son began allowing Madagascar to welcome European religions. The people began to convulse and spasm, and a lot of people believed it was the queen punishing them for undoing her life's work. In the 1800s, British ministers called her a monster of cruelty, a female fury, and a heathen queen. They not only claimed that she was a lunatic, they also said she was ugly and had invented the idea that she had smallpox scars. U-G-L-Y, she ain't got no alibi, she ugly. She ugly. While alive, any time she caused waves with Britain, they would spread more propaganda about the heathen queen. Especially in utilizing her ancestral practices, her sex, and her race, all as examples of low morals and intelligence. So I'll let you make your mind up about what you believe was all true. She did rule for decades and succeeded in making Madagascar self-reliant. That was until her son undid all of her work and put the country in ruin. On that note, let's cleanse ourselves and I'll let you be off. What doesn't serve me has to go. I only keep what will help me grow. Lessons come and lessons go. From the rotten past, we now know. To all darkness, so say this queen. You have no power here. You like that? Had to end on a touch of humor. Bonus points if you can tell me what movie that last line was off of. Thank you for supporting Rotten to the Core. Let's catch up again next week. In the meantime, be happy, find peace, and don't hurt anyone. I'd love to hear what you thought about today's episode and what lessons you learned on any of my socials. If you enjoy Rotten to the Core, please follow me on Instagram or join me on Patreon. Both of those are at It's Rotten to the Core. My TikTok is at Rotten in History. And you can also listen to me on my other podcast, Mystery Inc., that I do with my brother, Shane, and friend, producer Kim. If you're on YouTube, hit the like and subscribe buttons, please, and keep up to date with our lessons. It was lovely spending time with you today. Have a fantastic evening, my darlings. Bye.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points, perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.